Glad to see everyone who is with us this morning. I was trying to figure out what to preach on. You know, as a minister, you try to take into account some of the things that are going to be going on in people's lives and the time of year and the things that are going to be on their minds. And I was thinking about this one, and it's the Sunday after Christmas. It's the last Sunday of the new year, and it's also my last Sunday as a full-time minister. And I'm going, man, which way do you go, right? So I decided to take a path that kind of incorporates a little bit of all of them. So we're going to kind of hit on some various elements as we go through here, talking about a little bit about Jesus and a little bit about ministry and a little bit of a challenge for next year, okay? You know, when I think about God's truths in my life, sometimes God's truth has come in like a quiet whisper, right? It just kind of dawns on me, and I'm like, oh, man, okay, this is something I need to change. This is something I need to do. Sometimes God's truth comes in my life like a hand grenade. Boom, 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 and I'm like, whoa, man, that just hurt really bad, right? Okay, you ever had one of those times where God's truth just kind of totally blew up your life? That's the power of God's Word. You know, maybe it is that you hear a sermon, or maybe you're having a conversation with a brother or sister, and maybe it's a friend that comforts you, and maybe it's somebody that comes and confronts you with a sin that they've seen in your life. Any way that it works, in a moment's time, it's like something inside of you just kind of exploded. You see something that you've never seen before. You realize that you need to make some changes in your life, and you know that this is an area that maybe that you've been struggling in, that you've been weak in, and God is calling you to make some changes, right? God's Word is so powerful like that. And so today, what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about one of these truths from God's Word that should be like this for many in the 21st century American church, but I think oftentimes is not, right? And why is that? Because I think many in the church today are caught up in this idea, this whirlwind of professionalism that permeates our society, and we've let it characterize our own thinking in regards to the Lord's church. Now, do you agree with that? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Some of you are nodding and some of you are staring at me like, prove it. Okay, so let me ask you this to kind of maybe go along that thought process. How many ministers does the Garriott Road Church of Christ have? How many ministers do we have here? You might look at me and go, well, that's an easy answer, Jonathan. We have two, right? You and Ray. I mean, right? You guys are the ones that went to preaching school. You guys are the ones that have offices in the church buildings. We pay you guys a salary. You're the ones that do all the preaching and the teaching and all this kind of stuff. We have two ministers. Right? Go read the titles on the door frames out there, right? Minister and youth minister, right? We have two. While we might be tempted to say that, that's actually not biblically correct. You ever thought about it that way? That's biblically incorrect. We don't have just two ministers. You see, this is that truth that I'm talking about. Biblically, we have over 100 ministers at the Garriott Road Church of Christ. Biblically. You ever thought about it that way? You see, biblically, I'm not a minister. You are. You're the minister, biblically. Right? Biblically, what we see in this is that we have five equippers at the Garriott Road Church of Christ and over 100 ministers. Right? That's the simple truth. That's the truth that we have forgotten. It's a truth that the Lord's church today needs to get back to, because when you become a Christian, when you answer the call to be a child of God, you enter the ministry. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about it in that way? Right? When you read through this Bible, when you read through this New Testament, it knows nothing of a Christian who is not a minister. You won't find that concept in there. You don't find, hey, come be a pew sitter. You don't see that. That's not in the Bible. That's a construct of 21st century American Christianity. But it is not biblical. I want us to look at a passage this morning. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to go through this passage, and I want to show you this truth. And hopefully it'll make an impact in your life in one way or another, and maybe help you grow into who God needs you to be for His kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is explaining what it means to be the church. He talks and urges them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in verse 1. And he talks about having humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another, maintaining unity. Then he goes on to talk about how that should be, right? He says, you know, hey, there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father. It's all about we're together, we're one body, we're the church. And this is how that works. This is how we're brought together. Right? But then I want us to pick up and really focus in on what he says in verse 11. Because he's saying, look, this is how this works. This is how this unity, this functioning, this body should proceed to be the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 11. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. I want you to really let that sink in, right? He says, what is the job of the apostles and the evangelists and the elders, the pastors and teachers? What is their job? What is their role in the church? Well, obviously, Jonathan, if you're a minister, your job is... No! Read it, right? It says, what? We're to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Let that sink in. What is the job of the elders? What is the job of what we call the ministers? Technically, biblically, their job is to equip. Their job is to equip, right? I want you to read carefully some of these details, right? Paul says we are the body of Christ. We are His body. It's not, this is not some kind of extended metaphor, right? Jesus is no longer on this earth. But He has covered us in His blood, and He calls us to be His representatives here on this earth. He calls us to be His hands, His feet, His eyes, His ears, His heart, and to go out into this world and show Him who He is. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be a part of His church. And so when we look at this, and understand what we're saying, the elders, the evangelists, their job is to equip the church for the work of ministry. Right? That's what the job is. Now, this word equip, what is that talking about? Well, it means really what you would think of, generally speaking, right? To make someone adequate or sufficient for something. In other words, you don't know how to do it? We'll walk you through how to do it. We'll teach you. We'll give you the skills. We'll give you the equipment. Whatever it happens to be. That's the idea behind this word, right? When James and John, it's used of them in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, when they're mending their nets, they're getting it put back together the way it should be. They're making it whole, right? They're getting it ready. In classical Greek, this word was used when a physician would set a dislocated arm or leg that had been broken, right? You put it back into its proper place. You get it set back where it needs to be, right? You get it where how it's supposed to function normally. That's the idea behind this word, right? And so when we look at this, the job of the shepherds and the evangelists is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, does that mean that they don't do ministry? No, that's not what that's saying, okay, because they're part of the body of Christ too. However, what happens today in most places that you look is it's not just that they are doing some of the ministry, they are doing most of the ministry. And let me tell you something, that's not biblical. That's not what God has prescribed for His church, right? The idea is that we're to help you be prepared to serve the Lord, to go out and do the work of the ministry. Now, we do that in a lot of different ways, right? We have Bible classes that you can attend and learn and grow, sermons that we have done, the Sunday evening discussions, right, where we've taken these concepts and said, how does this work in real life and what does this look like for us as Christians? Those are things that we can do. Home fellowships and small groups and those kinds of things that we've been working on and doing, those opportunities are available to you, right? There's ways that equipping is being offered, right? And this is not always a formal thing. I mean, you got to recognize this. Equipping can be, hey, let's go grab some coffee and talk about what's going on in your life. Let's go share a meal together and lift each other up and encourage each other and strengthen each other, right? Equipping takes place in all these different kinds of ways. And that's what I want us to see, because their job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I made the statement earlier that you are a minister. And some of you looked a little surprised. But that's really what it is. Biblically, you are the minister. Do you know that minister is not a job title? I mean, we've made it into one. But you don't find that as a job title in the Bible. Sorry, it's not there. It's a job we're supposed to do. We, all together, we are called to ministry, right? But ministry really in the Bible is an action, right? If you minister by healing an injured person and bandaging their wounds, the title we call that is doctor, right? In today's society. If you minister and comfort a hurt child by picking them up and cuddling her and all that kind of stuff, right? That might be the ministry, but what's the title? Probably mom, right? Okay, or grandma. Grandmas do that too, right? If you minister to others by bringing God's word to bear on their life and circumstances, what's your title? Okay? Evangelist, one possibility. Christian. We are all called to bring God's truth to those who need to hear it. All of us. Right? And Paul tells us it's everyone's responsibility to do the work of the ministry. Right? Which means that all of us have a role to play in advancing God's body, the church, towards maturity in Jesus Christ. All of us have a role to play. You have a role to play. Right? This shouldn't surprise us. It's not a new concept, right? We need to serve. We need to be a servant. That's what ministry is about, serving. And that shouldn't surprise us, right? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus, the man we claim to follow, when we say, I am a Christian, I am a part of the church, I'm a part of His body, He said, I didn't come here to be served, but to serve. And if that's why He came, how can we claim to follow Him if we're not willing to serve? If we don't serve? If all we do is come and sit and go home? We might give lip service to the idea of following Jesus, but we're not really following Jesus. We're not really being a part of His body. And when you study the New Testament, I challenge you to do this. Go home and study the New Testament. what you'll find is you'll find evidence that the early believers understood the concept of every member being what we might call a minister today. And it didn't matter wherever they were, whatever circumstances they found themselves in, they were ministering, right? Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And Saul approved his execution, talking about Stephen there. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Pay attention to that. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Who is this? It's the church. And it's not the apostles. They're staying there. They didn't go anywhere. They're not scattered. You see, the church understood, as I go, I minister. I am part of the body of Jesus. I teach people about Jesus. I spread His message. That's what I do. That's who I am. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus, which means I minister. Right? God never intended that a minority of a group of people carry the burden of ministry in His church. He never intended it to be that way. Every time you look through the book of Acts, it's not just the apostles that were doing things. Christians were going out and spreading the message of Jesus Christ. Christians were serving others. So my question is, what about today? If that's what was going on then, is that still what's going on today? And if that's what they did, what about us? If that's the example that's been set for us, if that's what we see in Scripture, is that what we're doing? Are we being ministers? Because the truth is this, right? Ministry is an attitude. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Ministry begins with our attitude, right? We have to decide, first of all, that we understand that we have been called to do ministry. We have to accept that. We have to embrace that. We have to want that. And then secondly, we have to decide to let ourselves be equipped to do ministry, right? And so practically, what does this look like? It comes down to our reactions at being equipped and serving. That's what this comes down. Let me ask you, how do we react? How do you react, right, when the person who is trying to equip you has expectations of you? How does that sit? Well, who they think they are. What you mean you're going to tell me what to do? And I know y'all don't do the little flick thing, okay? I know that. But here's the idea. Your attitude does. Right? You do. Every one of us does. That's an American mindset. We don't want somebody telling us what to do. I'm my own boss. Thank you very much. No, you're not. You gave your life. You died to self. You raised to walk in a newness of life that's dedicated to serving Christ Jesus. You are not your own boss anymore. You don't get to be served. You're here to serve. And there's a difference in the mindset and the attitude that we approach this with, right? Right. I mean, think about it. I mean, just, okay, I'm going to stomp on some toes here. Our elders here recently asked us to do a devotional. How do you respond to that? Some people are like, I'm good. Woo! But do you see my point? We're not used to having expectations of service placed on us, because that's quote unquote the minister's job. That's somebody else's responsibility. That's not what I am supposed to do. You see, we need to be careful. We need to stop and consider what our leadership is wanting us to learn, how they're wanting us to be equipped through things like that. Are we willing to try new approaches and ideas for services? Or is the way that we've always done it the way that we're always going to do it forever and ever, amen, till the day we die? Is there only one way to serve? I hope not, because I don't serve the same way you do. And if that's really the mentality that you have, next Sunday, somebody else better be up here preaching. See, we need to be careful how we approach service from our hearts. Ministry begins with our attitudes. It begins inside of us. Right? Do we have that desire to see the church grow? To see people come to know the Lord? Do we have that within our hearts? Is it a burning part of us? Do we want to teach others about Jesus? Do we want to show them His love, His mercy? Do we want to bless them the way that we have been blessed? If all we do is actions, it's empty. It's vain. People don't want to be a project. People want to be loved. They want to be seen for who they are. That's one of the things that set Jesus apart from the Pharisees of His day. He met people, He saw them for who they were, and He ministered to the needs that they had. It wasn't about rise to my standards. Oh, you can't cut it. You're not worthy. That's not what He did. He said, let me help you. Let me walk with you. Let me love you. Yeah, there's some things you need to change, but I'll help you as we go. Which approach do we take? You see, one of the things, and this is one of the things I struggled with this lesson, is I feel like we've heard this passage before. Oh, we already know all this. We've already heard all this, right? My question is, were we listening with our ears and our heads or our hearts? You see, if we already know this, if we've already heard this, then why do we struggle to do it? And my best guess is because the knowledge hasn't come from here to here. It hasn't made an impact on us. And so our lives haven't changed. Right? I'm afraid we don't understand ministry in the biblical sense. Right? Many times when we talk about ministry in the church today, it is talked about in this idea of you have to be in a specific capacity to do ministry. And, well, you could be a ministry or a minister if you would just, and you meet these qualifications, and we have all this technical aspects about ministry. Right? And the impression is that if I want to be a minister, I have to put out so much effort to achieve a certain level, and then I'm a minister. Let me tell you something. That is not biblical. You don't find that in the Bible. That's our corporate America infusing itself into the church. Right? Sometimes we don't see ourselves as ministers because we play the comparison game. Oh, I'm not as good as this person, so I just can't do that. Or I don't teach as well as this person. I don't preach like this person. I don't lead singing like, I don't do, fill in the blank. I don't care. And so because I can't do it like them and I'm not as good as them, I just won't do anything. Brethren, that's not biblical. That's not what God has called us to do. Right? The other side to that, as I think we saw oftentimes, so much pressure and publicity on the public side of ministry. Right? When we talk about ministry, we think of preachers and we think of Bible class teachers and we think of all these public roles that are out there. And don't get me wrong, We need all of those things, okay? Please don't hear me saying we don't need any more, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But we neglect the private side of ministry, right? I want to just talk about some people. Yeah, I know. This is not gossip because I'm doing it to their face, so. All right? But I want to talk about some people that minister, right? How many of you guys know what Sister Jan does? Yeah, sorry, I didn't ask your permission. She does a lot of ministry. You want to know about the shut-ins? Go talk to her because she visits them. You want to know about our gardens? Go talk to her because she does a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot of things that she does that I'm pretty sure many of us don't know about. But she ministers. What about Roger and Beth? Do y'all know how much time they spend up at this church building? Like, they might as well have an office up here. Right? Tim and Eileen, same way. Always up here, serving, doing something. Finding things that they need to done. Brother Richard, I tell you what, if there's something going on and I need some help, I just call that man up and he takes care of it. He's got some kind of magic voodoo he does over there and it gets done. Boom. Right? Brother Jerry Morenz, always serving, always thinking about it, always making phone calls. See, ministry. It's not about I don't do it like they do it. God doesn't make one single body part for his body. He gives all of us these various gifts and abilities. He equips us in these different ways and he says, I just want you to go out and minister. I want you to serve. Right? You see, biblically, ministry is not a quote-unquote problem to be solved. That's not what ministry is in the Bible. Instead, in the Bible, ministry is really a lifetime of discipleship that's defined by the constant practice. And it's meant to be shared with those who are in our lives. Listen to the rest of this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 14. It says that we're supposed to have these. They're supposed to equip us until we all attain the unity of the faith. And then it says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, the idea here is what? Paul says, you need to serve because that's how the body grows. That's how God intended it to be. And let me sum it up for you this way. Paul says that ministry is the pathway to maturity. Ministry, serving, that's the pathway to maturity. And so what is he saying here? He's saying, look, you want to grow up in Christ? You want to be the body that Christ has called us to be? Serve. Do the work of ministry. Build up the body of Christ. That's what he says. Ministry is the pathway to maturity. And so many times we forget that. So many times we define maturity by the length of time since we were baptized. Listen, there's a lot more about being a mature Christian than the number of years since our baptism. A mature Christian serves. You see, and so the real question here is not how can we be ministers? That's not the question we need to be asking ourselves. The real question that we need to be asking ourselves is this: how did my ministry go this last week? Because you should have a ministry. That should be your way of thinking. Right? When we believe that we are all ministers, right? That's when we realize that ministry doesn't begin with a task. Ministry begins with us, with the person. My ministry begins with me. Your ministry begins with you. Right? It's not a job title. We're all called to be ministers. We all need to be finding ways to use the gifts that God has given us in His service. And that's something that fights this cultural mentality that we have in the church today. Right? Because if you don't have the title, you can't do the job. That's what our culture says. And so maybe it is that we need to stop looking at titles and stop looking at gifts. Start looking at how we can serve. Start looking at how God has equipped us. Maybe as those who are equippers, we need to stop looking at asking the question of how can we get more people involved and asking how can we help people do what they need to do? Right? Maybe we need to totally reverse the mindset that our culture is pushing at us. And stop operating the church like a business. Because it's not. It's a family. In your family, do you try to put people in positions that they're not equipped for? If you do, how does that go? Not well. I'm just going to tell you. Right? Instead, we try to help and encourage our children in the way that God has gifted them so that they can grow up to serve Him and become ministers for Him. That's what we need to be doing with each other. Right? Now, the maturity that he's talking about is this corporate kind of maturity, right? He's talking about building up the body, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Our personal spiritual growth is important, okay? But what he's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4 is the maturity of the body, right? And so one of the things that we need to change and one of the things that our American mentality pushes at us is that it's all about us. And you do you and all that good stuff. No. My personal growth is important, but only in as much as I use that growth to help you grow. And your growth is important, but only in as much as you use that growth to help me grow. That's the idea that's being talked about here. We build each other up so that each joint, when it's functioning properly, right, as Paul says, builds the body up in love. My goal in growth for God is to build you up. Your goal for growth in God, according to the Bible, is to build each other up, to build me up. That's what our goal is. And so it's not about just me. It's about how can I serve you? Right? It's not just about you. It's about how can you serve others? That's what we need to understand. So many times, I'm afraid we put that off on something else. There's an illustration that I found that I love, and I want to put it out there. And the title of it is this, Whose Job Is It Anyway? And this is a story about four people. Four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Let me give this to you. There was an important job to be done. And everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because that was everybody's job. And everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up being that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could do. Does that describe us? Does that describe you? Hey man, we got this need over here. Boy, somebody should sure do that. Can't people see that there's people over here that are hurting and they need somebody? Boy, that minister should sure get over there. You're exactly right. Get in your car. Go see them. You see how easy it is to slip into this mentality? We need to figure out what our ministry is. What is your ministry? Right? And I want you to think about this. One of the things I want you to think about is, what is it that you that makes you you? What is it that makes you unique? What is it that the skills that you have, the gifts that you have, the passions that you have, what is it that makes you you? Think about that. And then think about this. How can I use that to serve other people? How can I use that to build somebody else up, to encourage them, to strengthen them, right? I don't know if you guys have had the blessing of Brother John's text messages. But Brother John, I'm going to just tell you, brother, that's a great thing. Yeah, I know, I didn't ask your permission either. He just texts me. Hey, man, hope you're doing good. Just want to encourage you. Just wanted to check on you. Like, I don't know. I've gotten so many different text messages, right? Boy, that's just so big of a thing, isn't it? Yeah, actually it is. Because there are times when I've needed that. There are times that I've been struggling. And hey, you know what? This brother cares. See, what is it that you can do? What is it that God has gifted you with? And how can you use that to help build up His body? Right? We need to be looking at the lives that we are leading and saying and asking the question, what are the possibilities for ministry in my life? How can I serve the Lord's body? How can I serve those who need to know Him? How can I serve those people who are around me and in my life? Because the simple truth is, we are all called to do the work of ministry. Sometimes when we talk about this, we get discouraged. And we sit and we listen and we go, you know what? We feel like that's something that I'll just never be able to do. That's good for you. I'm glad you feel that way. But that's just not me. That's not who I am. That's not what I can do. Let me leave you with something. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, there's a verse that talks about Peter and John. And it reads this way. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." I want you to think about that for just a minute. Peter and John, fishermen. When people looked at them, what did they see? You're uneducated. You're common. But there's just something different about you. Oh, wait, you've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. How did they know that? Not because of their education, right? They didn't have any formal religious training. It wasn't their credentials because they didn't have any, right? It wasn't their religious pedigree and, oh, you're trained under so-and-so and so-and-so and I didn't do any of that. It was simply that they lived a spirit-filled life and were bold in the name of Jesus Christ. And they loved Him and they served Him. When we're thinking that we can't, we need to realize that through God's power we can. Peter and John. Uncommon. Or common and uneducated. Sometimes, if we were to describe ourselves, I think we would say that we are in the same category. And yet people could tell the difference in them because they had been with Jesus. When we start comparing ourselves to others and we're telling ourselves that we aren't qualified, when we feel like we can't do it, we need to realize that it's not about us. Because if we are with Him, then He does it through us. We're His vessels. We need to allow ourselves to be used, because that's what He did. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for all, for many. Will you be willing to serve like Jesus? Will you be willing to give your life in service? That's what He calls us to. This is, as I said earlier, the last Sunday of 2021. Next time we meet together, Lord willing, it will be 2022. I know that for myself, and you know this as well, my ministry is changing next year. Things are going to look different for me than they've looked in the past. What will your ministry look like? Who will you be serving? How will you be building up the body of Christ? You're called to be a minister. Let's serve as Jesus served. If you're here today and you realize that you need to make some changes, that you haven't been living the life that God has called you to live as His body, make those changes. We always talk about new starts for New Year's. That's coming up. Determine within yourself to live and to minister as Jesus has called you to live and to minister. If you're here this morning and you don't know what it is to live for Jesus, you don't know what that means, we want to help you learn that as we stand and as we sing.